ourselves. Are we truly dead to sin and alive in Christ Jesus our Lord? You notice that in many of our parishes, this is true of the Novus Ordo as well as the traditional parishes, that we don't have very many people in our parish between the ages of, say, 17 to 25. Not very many at all. And the reason for that is simple. It's because at that age, a lot of people have lost the faith. And they gain it back, many of them, thanks be to God, come back when they're a little bit older, when they start having a family of their own, they start coming back to church. But there's a reason that we have this happen in all of our parishes, and it's something we have to avoid. Why do young people lose the faith? They lose the faith because they never had an attachment to it to begin with. There has to be a personal commitment. They have to, in order to have the faith alive and to be alive in Christ Jesus, you have to have a personal commitment to that faith. What I mean is that so many times young people are going to Mass because their parents say, "You have to go with me. You're coming." And the parents are able to force their children to go all the way through high school. But once their children are at the end of high school or going off to college, they're no longer under their parents' supervision. Do you ever think about this? Why is it that so many college students don't come to Mass? They say, "Well, I can't make it. It's too far, or I have this or that problem." Well, you should never go to a college if you can't go to Mass. It's as simple as that. You know, if your kid wants to go to some university somewhere, first thing you should say is, "Will you be able to get to Mass?" If you're not able to get to Mass, then you shouldn't go. Because your faith comes first. But you see, a lot of young people, as I've been telling you, don't have that personal commitment. And so when it's just mom and dad telling me I have to go, well then, they're almost looking to get away. They're almost saying, "Well, I'm going to go to the University of Timbuktu." "Oh, sorry, Mom. Nearest Mass is 300 miles away." But this can be prevented. And it can be prevented by having our children take part in things like summer camps and retreats. I've told all the high school graduates, and this goes for any of you that you haven't heard this before, if you are graduating from high school, we welcome you to come on a retreat here for free. In other words, our gift to you for graduation would be to take care of you for 5 days and have you go through a retreat. Because only when we go on a retreat, or perhaps it will happen with the summer camp for some of the boys, but when you do something like that, you give this time to our Lord, He's able to finally reach this person. He's finally able to touch their heart. Most of us never hear what God really wants us to know, what He wants us to hear, what He wants us to do with our lives. Because when we pray, we do all the talking, and He's not able to get in a word. Just think about it. Most of you, when you pray, you come to Mass and you just go, and you're praying. That's wonderful. It's very pleasing to God, but you never stop and let God speak to you. You're talking the whole time, and you're never in recollection and silence. And that is that silent prayer is very, very important for all of us. And really, most of us only do it once in a great while, many times when we're in deep sorrow, when something terrible has happened. We're just in so much sorrow, we just sit in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And maybe then God does speak to us and touches our heart and consoles us. But our Lord would do this for you every day if you'd give Him a chance. So what we need to do is to learn to listen when we pray. to allow God to speak to us, to be in silence. That's why I told the First Communion kids earlier, when they made their First Communion, after Communion, you should just say some prayers of thanksgiving and then just be quiet and let God speak to you. Now this, if you do this, God will speak to you. He's very much here, just as he was present to his apostles 2,000 years ago. The same person. He is here. Your faith tells you that because our Lord said it. This is my body, this is my blood. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will not have eternal life. Our Lord told us this in the scriptures, and our Lord cannot lie. He is God, and God can never lie. So we know by his word, and we know also by all the miracles of the Holy Eucharist, that Jesus is very much here. He is truly present here in his person, just as he is in heaven. Though here he is hidden under the veils of the Blessed Sacrament. So if our Lord is here, and truly he is, then when we come before his presence, we should be mindful of the fact of what we are doing, and we should be mindful of what a great honor it is for us to be before him. You see, you have to teach your children from the time they're little that going to Mass is not something that, you know, they should do out of like going to work or school, like, oh, I have to go to church. They shouldn't be like that. They should be delighted. And they should say, wow, we get to go in the presence of God today. And that's why if somebody is not wanting to go to Mass, you don't force them. I know when they're little, you have to force them. But what I mean is that you have to make them understand that it's your loss. If you don't care enough about what's going on in the church, that you're in the presence of God, then it's a sad thing for you. Because already and St. Paul is saying this to the Romans, so you don't have the whole epistle in front of you, just have about 9 verses of the epistle, but if you read Romans chapter 6, you'll see St. Paul is telling us that exactly, that if you live for this world, you're going to have death. The wages of sin is death. I think that's in next Sunday's epistle, which is basically a continuation of today's epistle. That St. Paul tells us that if you live for the things of this world, if you live for the pleasures of the flesh and for sin, your reward is going to be death. That is, you're going to have suffering in this life and in the end, eternal torment in hell. Because this is what will be the result. You notice already God is teaching us here in this world. He teaches us because when we eat too much, we get sick. If we drink too much alcohol, we get very sick. If we commit sins of impurity, especially if we're in excess of those sins, we will have problems, physical problems, and God is always trying to teach us that this is the result. You're going to be punished for committing these sins. You're going to be punished already here on earth. It's because he loves you. It's like he's trying to warn you. He's saying to you, don't do this, because if you do this, you will have everlasting death. It's like giving you a little smack to wake you up and to say, don't be this way. And that is why, and this is something God did, why when we commit sin, afterwards we're not satisfied. We're unhappy. It didn't do anything. It didn't satisfy us. It didn't give us any lasting pleasure. It was like that. It was gone. And afterwards, after we have this sin for some time, we're sick of it. We don't want this anymore. We just say, I don't want this. This is horrible. This is no longer appealing to me. God made us that way because, as St. Augustine said, and you've heard these words again and again from St. Augustine, our hearts were made for thee, O Lord, and they will not rest until they rest in thee. Unless God is your portion, you're never going to have happiness. Not in this world, and certainly not in the next. The wages of sin is death. And St. Paul is saying in today's epistle, you must die then to sin. All those who sin become a slave to sin. It enslaves you. It brings you down. You're never happy. You're bound up in chains. But if you die to sin, you get rid of it, you completely root it out of your life, you will become alive in Jesus Christ. And once you have this understanding and you have Jesus Christ with you and you realize this is my portion, this is the best thing I could ever have, you have that personal love and that personal commitment to our Lord that you will never lose it. And you won't need your parents to tell you, go to Mass and say your prayers and go to the sacraments. No, because you realize this is the best thing I could ever have in this world are the gifts of God. And that's what today's gospel is about. Our Lord, you'll notice, the people are out in the desert, in the wilderness with him, and they have nothing to eat. And he takes care of them, even though, humanly speaking, that would have been impossible because there were so many thousands and thousands of people. The 4,000 is just the number of men. They counted by families, as it were, so all the men were like the heads of the family, so it's 4,000, but that was 4,000 families. So you can imagine there were a lot more people there than just 4,000, and humanly speaking, it was impossible to take care of them all. But with God, of course, nothing is impossible. He can do anything. And that's why you must, if you're smart, you must choose our Lord as your portion, as your inheritance. Look at the story of the prodigal son. He took his inheritance from his father. He goes off and he lives riotously. He wastes his money on drinking and gambling and wild women. And he comes to find that none of those things gave him any lasting pleasure, and that he is empty, and he is worse off than the lowest of slaves. And he thinks to himself, if I just go back to my father's mansion, I would have food in abundance. I'll ask him to take me in as one of his servants. And so he returns to his father's house. And the reason our Lord told that story is to remind you that the things of the flesh, the sins of this world, are just going to leave you empty. But if you return to your Heavenly Father, you will have an abundance of gifts. Because you know when that son returned, you remember, the father didn't receive him as a slave. He embraced him and put on him the finest robe and had the fatted calf killed. And they celebrated because the son had returned home. And that's our Lord telling you, this is how he will treat you. He will take care of you. No matter what, he will love you and care for you. And yes, there will be times when he asks you to go out into the desert with him. That is, that you seem to be in want, you have nothing, you wonder, how am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to get by this month? And our Lord says, don't worry, am I not with you? That's what he told the apostles over and over again. Where is your faith, O ye of little faith? Nothing can happen to you as long as I am with you. And our Lord is with you. If you are living in the state of grace, our Lord is with you always. That is what the state of grace is the life of Christ in your soul. And so you should say to yourself when the devil tempts you or when your flesh tempts you, you should say, it's not worth it. I am not going to give up my friendship with Jesus Christ for this fleeting pleasure that's only going to last a few moments. I am going to deny myself that fleeting pleasure in order to have the much greater joy of the friendship of Jesus Christ. And when he is close to you like that, all things are possible. He could feed you in the desert. He could clothe you as the lilies of the field. He will always take care of you. You have nothing to fear. And the leftover fragments filled seven baskets, and as the church fathers point out, of course, the seven refers to the sacraments, that our Lord is giving you these wonderful gifts from heaven, and these wonderful gifts by which he feeds us, feeds our soul, are the seven sacraments. And these will produce in you this tremendous joy and satisfaction already in this life. So let us turn to our Mother of Perpetual Help today, since her feast day is tomorrow, and ask her, she who lived her life exactly as God meant for all of us to live. And think about it. The Blessed Virgin Mary is God's masterpiece. She's a pure human creature, but she lived her life perfectly for God. She never committed the least venial sin. It's so sad when people say, oh, it's only a venial sin, and they do it. Well, that's ridiculous. God doesn't want you to ever commit a sin, because even a venial sin, you're losing somewhat of his grace and you're losing somewhat of his friendship. Even a venial sin. So obviously you don't lose his presence, his state of grace, but we should try to be like Mary. We should try to live our days without ever committing a sin, to live perfectly for God. And I guarantee you, I promise you, that if you do this, you will have a very happy life. Not only in this world, but of course, for all eternity in the next. I promise you, it's not me, but it's Jesus who is promising you this. Your greatest joy is going to come not from the things of this world, but from the gifts of God. So let us all then be willing to follow our Lord wherever he goes, to wherever he should lead us. Even if it be in the desert, let us stay near to him in the Blessed Sacrament. Let us remember to be silent in his presence so that he can speak to our hearts. And let us imitate the Blessed Virgin Mary to try to live free from sin, to live perfectly unto God, dead to sin and alive in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.